My name is Bill Larrick, and I'm an interviewer with the Decatur Public Library Local History Room program. Today is November the 30th, 2016. I'm doing an encore interview with Orv Graham. Orv first was interviewed in 1987 by a person that started the local histories program with us. And Orv and I go back a long time ourselves. I mean,
yeah, a long time.
A long time. And when I say encore, since we were both involved with local theater, it's appropriate. And let's see, I think Betty covered pretty much everything to do with your direct broadcasting situation. So I'd like to start back at the beginning, Orv. Tell us, where were you born?
Indiana, about 200 miles east of here on a farm in central Indiana, east and south of Indianapolis. Went to high school there, grew up in a family, 10 kids. I was one of 10.
One of 10, wow.
I was number 7 of the 10.
Right in the middle.
Right, yeah. And right as of now, there are only 3 of us remaining. I have a brother in southern Texas, San Antonio,
right,
and a sister in central Arkansas, and me here. And that's it.
Yeah, I might mention that you and I are age cohorts. We're contemporaries.
Yeah,
I was born in 39, and I think...
I was born in 38.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
We're a couple of old geezers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Survivors, I prefer to call it.
Yeah, that's a... Yeah, thank you.
Okay. When did you first come to Decatur, or...
1962. People ask me, how did you come to be in Decatur? And my answer is, I didn't come to be in Decatur. I came to get a job. I started in radio in southern lower Michigan, Hillsdale, Michigan, and a small town, a town about the size of Taylorville. And
really small town.
Yeah. And I felt lucky to get a job there, my first job in radio.
Sure.
And worked there a year, and one day the owners of the station came in and said, we have sold the station. And the new owners are coming in, and they're bringing in their own staff. So you have 30 days to find another job. So I was looking for another job.
Absolutely.
And Broadcasting Magazine, which was the magazine that you referred to in those days in broadcast radio, had classified ad section, and there was an ad for WSOY in Decatur, Illinois. They wanted an announcer. They said they requested 2 years' experience. I only had 1 year. But I called and made arrangements to come down. They invited me down anyway, so I came down for an audition. Now, here's an interesting story. I came down to Decatur on a Saturday morning. I had a 10 o'clock meeting with some guy named Downey Huey. Do you remember Downey Huey?
Downey Huey, absolutely.
Well, on my telephone conversation with him from up in Michigan, I thought he identified himself as Mr. Donahue.
Ah.
Ah.
Honest mistake.
I came down to Decatur to meet with Mr. Donahue. When I realized on Saturday morning when I got up that I forgot to bring a tie. So when I got to Decatur, I stayed overnight over in the Champaign area. And drove to Decatur on Saturday morning, got to Decatur, and I'm looking around for a shop that would have a tie. And I stumbled onto Sam Loeb.
Uh-huh.
Loeb's Menswear. Absolutely. Downtown.
Absolutely.
What a classic gentleman he was. And he didn't know me. Of course, my first time in town. What are you doing here? Just passing through? You visiting something? Well, I came down to do a job interview. What kind of a job? Well, at a radio station, a place called WSOY. Oh, I know WSOY very well. I listen to Downey Huey every morning. I said, who? Downey Huey. Oh. So I told him, I thought I was going to meet with a Mr. Donahue.
Donahue.
Oh,
okay.
You're going to meet with Mr. Downey Huey. And he told me all about Downey Huey, and he told me all about the radio station, its history, and the people, Bob King and Merrill Lindsay. And he sold me a tie and that matched my outfit. And later I told him, I got the job, much to my surprise. And later I told him he's responsible for me coming to WSOY. He gave me the tie and he gave me the information. Sam Loeb was quite a guy.
Excellent. Yeah. Did your educational background points you in the direction of broadcasting or communications or?
When I was in high school, I was a member of the speech club in high school.
Start.
And I was speech club president. And a town 20 miles away had a radio station. And they would invite our speech club over to do a radio play three or four times a year. And I got involved in that. I would
Good
go
experience.
Over to that radio station. And I'd stand in the control room and I'd see all those little meters kicking and those little lights blinking.
Fascinating.
And, I was fascinated by that. And eventually I went to radio school, Portland, Oregon, and then wound up in Hillsdale, Michigan, my first radio job.
And here. And the rest is history.
Yeah, sort of. There's a lot of history in there.
Yeah,
50
a lot
years.
Of history.
I've been here over 50 years.
So this is basically home to you.
It is home, yeah.
Now, I was also acquainted with Donna.
Yeah.
The love of your life.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yep. She was from Indiana also, or did
Yes, she was. Ah. We were in the same high school together.
High school sweethearts. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. That's right.
That's great. That's a good story.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, we kind of grew up together. And lived in Indianapolis when we were first married, before I went to radio school, and got involved in the Indianapolis Civic Theater, the Booth Tarkington Civic Theater.
I think I've heard of it.
It's one of the finer civic theater organizations
right.
in the country. Professional director, full-time, etc. Professional set designer, all that stuff. And did a couple of shows over there. And then went to Hillsdale, Michigan. And there was another guy on radio there that I worked with the year I was there, who was an actor, had been in the motion picture Boys Town.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he and I together, along with the community people there, started a theater there, a community theater group, and we did some shows up there.
You were always a pioneer.
I don't know about the pioneer business, but then when I came to Decatur, I'm an announcer doing an afternoon program on radio, and I heard about the Town and Gown Players at Millikan University. Dr. Jerry Mickle,
right.
And they were going to hold auditions for Romeo and Juliet. And I decided to audition. I got a role. I played the role of Tybalt, the villain kind of in Romeo and Juliet. And met Dr. Mickle, of course, and all the other staff, and a whole bunch of people who became Theater 7 members.
Right, I was going to ask you that.
Yes.
That was,
yep,
that
was
a good
it.
Segue.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Orv.
and amongst the people in that cast, by the way, they brought in a professional actor who had some connection to Millikan University, and that was Bill Hayes. Remember Bill Hayes?
I certainly did.
He had the hit recording of the Ballad of Davy Crockett,
mm-hmm.
singer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did Broadway, did motion pictures,
did Broadway.
And he was here for a month. He played Romeo in Romeo and Juliet. He and I had a sword fight, and he run me through. he killed Tybalt on the stage at Millikan. But from that, I did a couple of other shows for Dr. Mickle, and I did one for the School of Music at Millikan. Song of Norway.
Song
Remember
of Norway.
That? Yeah.
Sure.
And then a whole group of people who were part of the town players, the Town and Gown, got together and said, we ought to form a, we'd like to do our own stuff. We'd like to do some shows that are very commercial, some
right.
Neil Diamond
right.
type
and
stuff.
Dr. Mickle did not like that type of show.
No, he wanted to do Shakespeare.
Because I started with Theater 7. Now, weren't you one of the original 7?
No.
You weren't. Okay, I was thinking
As a matter of fact, my wife was. Donna was,
okay.
I was at a rehearsal at Millikan University for one of the shows I was doing there the night that meeting took place.
Okay.
Donna
okay.
was there. And who else? Ralph and Sue Donovan, perhaps, and
Jerry
Jack
and Gene Waldera.
Yeah, Jerry and Gene.
Bob Rusky.
Yeah.
Jack and Betty Gogek.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, such great names.
Absolutely.
So familiar.
Absolutely.
Most of them gone now, unfortunately.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
You weren't there that
time. I started about a month after I was in. I pulled the curtain for Light Up the Sky, mm-hmm. which was the first show.
Major production.
Yeah, that they did. And then I was actually in The Man Who Came to Dinner.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first time I was on stage with them. And I always kiddingly tell people I was in rehearsal for about 14 years after that, in one way or another, because I was very strongly aligned with it.
And you and I worked together in...
Come Blow Your Horn.
Come Blow Your Horn.
We were brothers.
Neil Diamond, yes.
We were brothers.
Yes, we were brothers.
Neil Simon.
Neil Simon, pardon
right.
me, yes. You're
right. Right. No, yeah. We didn't sing, which was a good thing.
It was a good thing, yeah. Yeah, and I can really remember... one of your lines from that show, and I don't remember my line that set it up. In the character role, I was complaining that you always ate the goodies that I left out.
Exactly. Ding-dongs and ho-hos.
Yeah. And you said?
I don't remember, Orb.
You said, but I always give you some of my Oreos.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
How many years ago has that been?
Oh, heavens. More years than I want to remember, but at least, let's see, 63, I imagine it was in the 70s.
Probably,
because I think we were still at
Eisenhower.
We were still at Eisenhower
yeah,
before
we, did the shows
we
yeah,
yeah, yeah. And then I think the first thing we did at Kirkland right after it opened was My Fair Lady.
I thought so.
Yeah, and oddly enough, I played Alfred P. Doolittle in the second reprisal of that Theater 7 did in 1986, I believe.
Wow.
Or was it 96? 86, probably.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so we do have a few years, plus all the melodramas that we did together, Dirty Work at the Crossroads.
You remember that, Dirty Work?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I brought that to Decatur. And was that before Light Up the Sky?
No. No, that was after we did that at the, not the winery, the...
An old tavern out on East William Street Road.
Well, no, that was...
Dirty Work at the Crossroads.
That was there, but we actually did some, and I think you were in one of them that was there on North Oakland. The name escapes me.
Yeah, does me too, I don't know.
But that was, we did those there, and then we moved out into...
We made
Junior Junction.
Yeah.
On the east end of town.
East end of town. That's where we did Dirty Work at the
Crossroads. Dirty Work at the Crossroads, yeah.
And I directed that one.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we made sets out of bushes, out of cardboard boxes, painted them green.
Anything we could come up with.
Because we had no money.
No, absolutely not.
And we sold out Dirty Work at the Crossroads, and that gave us, the Theater 7, enough money to stage the next major production.
Exactly.
By the rights fees.
Well, you know, if you remember, Orv, those kind of laid the groundwork for working with the DAR out on off of Southside Drive in 48.
Mm-hmm. The American Legion?
American Legion.
Yeah.
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 We and
did
I
did several of them out there.
Did several of them out there, and I remember those well.
Oh, those are great fun days. And a lot of good friends and a lot of good memories.
Absolutely. And I Orv, you also, in addition to being, I was running through my mind, I was trying to remember the song to Downey Huey. There, and Hank Haines with the Rooster Club in the morning and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's the bad thing. When you're around for a long time, you remember too much. And what was it? Old people remember inaccurately and forget fast. I'm starting to identify with that
very
strongly.
I understand.
But you also owned radio stations in this area at one time, too, didn't you?
I owned WSHY AM and FM in Shelbyville. I was first on the air on WSHY for about 5 years, afternoon radio personality.
Right.
And I looked around, and the guys selling advertising at the radio station drove better cars than I did. And they didn't work nights, and they didn't work holidays, and they didn't work weekends, and I did all of those things. And I thought, wait a minute.
Something wrong with this plan.
Yeah. So I went to my boss, Downey Huey, and said, Downey, I would like to transfer to the sales department when you have an opening. He said, You got to be kidding. No, I'm not kidding. I'd like to do that. And by and by, I did. Within 2 months, there was an opening in the sales department. There were three people, staff of three people at that
okay.
time. And I moved to advertising sales. But I kept my voice on the air by recording commercials. I wrote commercials for my advertisers, my clients, and I would record them. And I would also fill in for anybody who had to be gone.
Right.
Downey Huey had to be gone, vacation,
right.
business, whatever. Hank Haynes, Rooster Club had to be gone. Will Miller had to be gone. I would fill in.
So you were an in-house substitute.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That was a good
yeah.
thing.
But my voice stayed familiar, and that helped me in my sales.
Mm-hmm.
And before long, I was selling half of the business. There were three of us, and I was producing half of the income.
That's pretty impressive.
And then one day, Downey Huey left the station, 1968. He left. He had been general manager and the personality doing the TNT program
mm-hmm.
in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And when he left, I filled in the next day, as I always had whenever he had to be gone. And I thought I'd fill in for 3 weeks while they found somebody. And instead, I filled in for 15 years.
Oh, my heavens.
And it was probably the best thing that ever happened to
yeah.
me. But
yeah.
when that happened, that changed my life some. I started getting out of nighttime obligations because I got up early.
Sure.
So I didn't do much more theater after that.
TNT, Time, News, and Temperature,
that's
right?
what it was. Yeah,
that's what
yeah.
it was.
Yep.
Well, you're kind of like me. I got away from it, too, because of working out of town so much.
Mm-hmm.
But Orv Graham's name is pretty prominent in this community. It's been around a long time.
Well, Decatur's been good to us.
You said that you were in advertising and sales and theater and owned your own radio station in Shelbyville and so forth. How did you get involved in insurance? You and I have already talked about this, and I know the reason, because you're like me, you don't like to do nothing.
Well, I guess there's two parts. I should explain why I bought the radio stations in Shelbyville.
Okay.
The Lindsay Schaub organization, which at that time owned Decatur Herald and Review and some
right.
other newspapers around
right.
the country, and they had a couple of other radio stations
sure.
around the country.
Pantograph up in Bloomington and
well, they didn't have that one at that point.
Oh, they didn't? Okay.
No. But they had some other radio stations as well. But the younger family members were not getting interested in that business, either newspaper or broadcast. And Merrill Lindsay and Fred Schaub and their executive staff members were all getting older and getting to the retirement age. And I'm looking around me and thinking, wait a minute. One day, they're going to retire and this radio station is going to have some new ownership. And I better look for another job. So I did. I looked for another job and wound up buying the radio stations in Shelbyville. I went down there, and I was right. The WSOY was sold,
mm-hmm.
as was the Herald and Review.
Right. Was it Lee Enterprises or something like that?
No, not at that point.
Not at that point yet.
It was Illinois Broadcasting Company, I think. I'm not exactly sure of the
sure.
corporate name. But Dick Griggs became the owner of record. He had been the general manager out there.
Yeah.
And I was running the stations in Shelbyville. And I'll tell you something that I haven't said publicly that happened to me during all that period of time. Jim Rupp was the
mayor.
Well, state senator at that time.
Oh, okay.
State senator.
Yeah, he'd gone on to bigger and better things also.
And while I was in Shelbyville one day, I got a call from Mike Tate, who at that point was state representative.
I remember Mike.
He said, I want to come down and visit with you. He did. Came down to my office in Shelbyville. And walked into my office, closed the door. I said, Mike, I don't close the door. He said, this is a private conversation.
Okay.
okay, Mike, what are we going to talk about? And he told me the story that Jim Rupp was about to be appointed to some statewide board, and that would mean his Senate seat would be open, and they were looking for somebody electable to fill his seat. They'd be appointed to his seat until election time, and have to. And they had identified three people.
Was one of them Orv Graham?
One of them was Orv Graham.
Okay.
And would I go to Springfield and meet with these people? No, I'm not going to do that, Mike. Come on and do it. Okay. I went to Springfield, and I'm over to State House meeting with this guy, and he tells me all this. And I say, I'll think about it. And I went back home, and a couple of weeks later, he called me and says, come on over again. So I went over again, and I'm talking with him in his office, and the phone rings, and he picks it up, and says, yeah, okay, we'll be right there. And he turns to me and says, the governor wants to talk to you. Come on, let's get in the car and go down to the mansion. So we went down to the governor's mansion. Governor Jim Thompson walks in the room, sticks out his hand and says, ah, the voice from Decatur. If you will take this job, I will do everything I can to help you get elected come election time, etc. Well, in the end, I didn't take it, because Dick Griggs had called me, who was then the owner and now the owner of WSOY, and he said, why don't you come back here? And got an offer I couldn't refuse. So I declined being Illinois State Senator. Went back to WSOY.
And you know, I wondered why you had never gone foraged into the political field, because I thought you would have been pretty good.
I was very close to it.
Very close to it.
But I went back to WSOY and eventually became the general manager of WSOY and Y103 and Muzak, all three. And then the station sold again. And I was working for some wonderful out-of-town people. Guy in New York City. It was just a prince of a guy. But his motives and methods were not what I was accustomed to in broadcast. And eventually I decided to go elsewhere. And that's, I didn't know where I was going to go.
Right, right.
And then one day a salesman selling insurance came to me and was telling me about this new insurance product. And I became fascinated with it. And I said, I ought to be selling that. He said, you're kidding. I said, no, I'm not. And so I got acquainted enough to learn what I had to do to qualify for that. I got all the books and
self-study, absolutely.
Passed all the tests and got my investment license and so forth. So that's what took me into the insurance business.
That's very interesting.
This guy in New York would call me one day and said, what are you doing Tuesday? I said, well, I'm going to this and this and this Tuesday. I've got this meeting. And then, why do you ask? He said, I think you ought to come up here. So on Tuesday morning, you know, I'd jump in a plane and fly to St. Louis, and from St. Louis to LaGuardia, and cab downtown and meet with him until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then fly home. And I just said, that's just not my style.
Uh-huh.
They were wonderful people, but not my style. We were a group of 11 markets. Decatur was the smallest market in the group, and we were providing more cash to the corporate office than any of the other stations. That's how successful we were. We were very good at WSOY back in those days. And they always wanted more.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's their job. That's what the free enterprise system is all about.
Exactly.
But
profit margins, what it's all about.
Yeah. So, but I wanted something else. So I'm an independent sort. I said, okay, I'm going to do it this way.
That's very interesting.
So that's why I wound up where I am. And we haven't said where I am now. I'm at Foster Financial Services.
Right.
I am not an employee. I'm an individual associate. I work with Larry Foster and Vicki Baker and Bill Braun and the rest of the staff at Foster Financial. I'm an independent chap. I sell life insurance and do a lot of planning and that kind of thing.
Sure.
Legacy type planning. I am not a certified financial planner, but my work borders on all that.
Absolutely.
I work with a lot of...
You have the resources to be able to
Yeah.
acquaint people with something if necessary.
Yeah, that's true. And long-term care insurance coverages.
A big thing in this day and age.
Very big, but very expensive.
Very expensive.
Yeah. But that's what I do.
Very interesting.
And that's how I got there.
After how many years in Decatur?
54
wow.
at this writing, I guess.
54.
Yeah.
Well, you know, another individual, Shirley Kissler, that you're familiar with, she is also interested in talking to you about your other local involvements and so forth and so on. So for now, we're going to close up today's session, and I want to thank you very much for coming, taking your time to do this. It's been enlightening. There might be some things that I have forgotten to ask you, and I apologize for that, but we wanted Orv Graham to be one of the people that we had in our roster of local individuals that I think have made an impact on Decatur. And thank you very much for coming, Orv.
I'm complimented. Thank you, Bill. Thank you.
Well, we always did have a line between the two of us, you know.
It's
but we look
fun.
Forward to talking to you again, okay?
Thank you.